Good morning. Good morning. On this wonderful, beautiful, sunny, well, not so sunny, dry, well, not so dry, Michigan morning. With a beautiful snow, no, it's rain. You never know, okay, you never know. It's hard to believe, to me anyway, that we're having another New Year's service. I mean, I know it's not New Year's Eve or anything like that, but that's what this service is the service before New Year's. I really think that this year has been the fastest year of my life. It hasn't been easy, okay? And it's certainly been a challenge, all right? How many face some challenges in 2025? Yeah, amen, amen. Every time we have a New Year's service, I feel it is important that I give you something that you can take into the new year that will help you or challenge you in some sort of a way. And today is no different, okay? The title of the message today is Gratefulness is My Goal, okay? Say it. Gratefulness is my goal. And I really pray that you'll be challenged and that you'll be encouraged and that you find the message something that you remember, okay, as we embark on, can you believe it, 2026. I remember when it turned 2000. Yeah. Well, I remember when it turned 1990 and 80 and 70 and 60. Okay. All right. All right. Please stand with me as we make our Bible declaration for the last time in 2025. Are you ready? And how are you going to do that? You're going to hold your Bible up in the air. All right. And then you're going to repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Say that again. Say it again. I'll never be the same. Believe it, and I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, today I want to talk to you about something that is, I would say, a very important part, or an absolute need, if you will, of the utmost importance, or it's imperative, okay, in your Christian walk. And it's something that I often pray for myself because I know how important it is. And that's this, having a grateful heart. I want to have a grateful heart that remembers what God has done for me. Amen? Come on, a grateful heart that would remember what God has done for me. I've come to realize over the last 30 or so years of ministry, and after counseling countless people, that one of the roadblocks to blessings is having an ungrateful heart. Amen? Inevitably, this ungrateful heart will consume you and it will affect your whole life. If you don't believe me, just listen to this, okay? At the root of pride lays an ungrateful heart. Amen? Okay. At the base of gossip is an ungrateful heart. At the root of sin lies an ungrateful heart. At the heart of all your problems, and I mean it, at the heart of all your problems is what? I'm going to do number four again. At the heart of all your problems is what? An ungrateful heart. That's right, an ungrateful heart. Nothing, say nothing. Nothing does as much damage to your personal life as having an ungrateful heart. Nor does anything do as much damage to your spiritual life than having an ungrateful heart. Because, you see, gratitude motivates people. With an ungrateful heart, you can't move anybody. A grateful heart encourages people and attracts people. But if you have an ungrateful heart, you won't encourage nor attract anybody. Spiritually, okay? You can't worship in spirit and in truth with an ungrateful heart. Spiritually, you can't pray effectively with an ungrateful heart. At the root of original sin, all right, sits pride that stemmed from the devil having what? an unappreciative and ungrateful heart towards God. Are you with me today? I'm going to tell you, an ungrateful heart is never satisfied. You can do whatever you think is good and right and to somebody or for somebody, and if they have an ungrateful heart, you will never, ever, ever, do you hear me? Ever, ever satisfy that person. You can't give them enough. You can't tell them good things enough. When you have an ungrateful heart, you can't be satisfied. Having this, and you've heard this before, this attitude of gratitude is probably the most powerful attribute that we as Christians can possess. Everything and more that I just mentioned changes, okay? It changes if you have a grateful heart. If you're someone who finds themselves with a history of having an ungrateful heart, I'm about to give you some really bad news, all right? Are you ready for that? Oh, you have an ungrateful heart, huh? No. The bad news is this. It won't just go away, okay? It won't just go away by itself. But there is a solution, and the solution is this. And you have to do this on purpose, okay? This has to be something that you get up in the morning and you say, you know what, I'm going to do this on purpose. I'm going to make sure that this happens. And that is this. You need to have a remembering mind. Amen? You need to have a remembering mind. Please turn with me to 2 Timothy 1:6, and I will be reading out of the Amplified Classic this morning. You get that? Let's pray as you turn. Father, I pray more than anything today that we would be a people that would receive, and that we would receive from your word, God, that which encourages us, that which challenges us, that which will make a difference in our life. We have made a declaration today already that said that I will not be the same. I will never be the same. And I pray that would be the case in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 2 Timothy 1:6 out of the Amplified. Not louder, just longer. Sorry. That is why I would remind, understand what he's saying here, that is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by means of the laying on of my hands with those of the elders at your ordination. I just have one question for you guys today as we get started, and that's this. Have you ever experienced, now some of you might really have to think, but have you ever experienced the unexplainable delivering and rescuing, bondage-breaking, addiction-breaking, restorative power of God in your life? Have you ever had that happen? I'm talking about those moments in your life when your situation looks completely dark and completely black and hopeless, and then all of a sudden, pow! Pow! God's amazing grace just shows up, and you are set completely free, and you're loosed by the power of God. Amen. Raise your hand if you're one of those people. Amen. God is so good. Say it with me. God is good, and all the time, to who?
To me.
We're just going to leave it at that, all right? Now, just think about it, and I really mean it, okay? For just a minute, if you would, think with me. Can you think of specific moments like that in your past where God came through for you? Can you think of, seriously, I would like you to just take a minute, and I'm just going to pause, and I want you to think here and think about it. What has God really done for you? I can tell you this. And my list is going to be, help me. Amen. In 84, he saved me and he saved my marriage. In 2009, he healed me of a stroke that attacked my speech center. I thought that was cute, you know. But he healed me. I didn't get a miracle. I didn't get a bam, but he healed me over time. Amen. I can think of another time, okay, where he did give me a miracle. He healed my colon. Glory to God. And I can even think of a time when he touched me when I had cellulitis all the way up my leg last year also. And it slowly, but it did get healed and it was gone. And I'm going to give the glory to God for doing that. I can think of the hamstring that I pulled. Oh my gosh, 2025 was a bugger. But that's what could be on my list. He is faithful, isn't he? And I would imagine you have the same type of great things and maybe small things like Serena was talking about. By the way, she has no idea what I'm going to preach about. And she hits it when she comes up here like that. I should expect that. But he's faithful. Amen? Yet what's really amazing to me and probably to you is that when we are confronted with the new challenges that life always has for us, we have this habit of failing to remember how faithful God was in our past to help us. Amen. Amen? Those impossible circumstances, those incredible deliverances that we experienced are overshadowed by the difficulty of our present situation. Amen? Amen? And that's all that we can see. It's like our perspective somehow gets blurred, if you will, because of the problems that we are currently facing. And we forget, say, I forget. We forget that we've gone through similar and even worse wars before, and God came through for us then. Why? Because he is faithful. Amen? That ought to get you excited this morning. Come on. He is faithful. Amen. And the huge mountain, okay? The huge mountain that stands before you today, I don't know what it is, you know, but whatever that mountain is that looks so big, so gigantic, that you momentarily have failed to remember all the other mountains that you've already scaled, come on, and the other mountains that you've already faced, but you have overcome them by the grace and the enablement of God. Glory to God. You know, I think of so many things in my life, so many things. I named just a couple, but so many things in my life that if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have come through. Amen? The multiple times I rolled cars over, okay, before I was 21. The airplane that I crashed, come on, you know? All kinds of different things that he saw me through. Listen to what it says in Psalm 9:10, okay? And those who know your name, do you know his name this morning? Come on, are you saved this morning? Then you know his name. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Glory to God. If you seek God, if you pray to God, if you read his word, he will not forsake you because you know his name. And if you're like me, you want to know his name more and more and more every year. Amen. Do you know what the word not forsaken means, or the phrase not forsaken? I think sometimes we kind of just pass over things because we don't really think about them. But it means where God is concerned, he won't fail you. He won't leave you. Glory to God. Have you ever felt lonely? God doesn't leave you. He will not refuse you. He will not loosen his hold on you. He is always, say always, he is always faithful to you. Glory. When you're not faithful to him, he is faithful to you. And I don't know about you, but it's just building in me. We should give him just a little more praise this morning. So come on, why don't you hop up on your feet and give him a hand clap and tell him, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my life. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my loved one's life. Thank you, Lord. There's no one like you, God. There's no one like you. God, faithful when I am not faithful. Glory be to your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Amen. When Paul wrote his second letter to Timothy, Timothy was facing one of the biggest mountains in his life. Nero had become the emperor of the Roman Empire, and he was so cruel and so against Christianity The believers were being persecuted to the max, more than you can even imagine. And some were even facing death for the simple fact that they were believers. I want to go off on a spiel right now about being a believer in this day. You should say thank you when you look at what's happening around the world. Yes. But I won't. It wasn't easy. And this is what I'm trying to say. It wasn't easy being a Christian in Timothy's day. And in the midst of all the panic and pandemonium, Timothy was facing the same mountain of, fear that everybody else was. And you know, you can't help but wonder, was he wondering? Because I know we have. Is God going to be faithful to me in this terrible hour? Is God going to come through for me? I mean, God, where are you when I need you, right? Come on. Where are you when I need you? I know that you have felt this way because I have felt this way. There's times when God seems a million miles away, and it seems like you pray and you pray and you pray and you don't get an answer, but you know what? He knows what's best, and when he does answer, he's right on time. Amen? Amen. But you pray and you pray. It seems like you're praying, and absolutely no one is listening but you. But we have to remember that we have promises. Amen? That we have promises. And one is found in Hebrews 13:5, and it goes like this in the Amplified. And I love this. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. The Greek right here becomes very strong. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, let you down, or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Glory be to his name. That's some good stuff. And that's why it's so important for you and I to know the word of God. Okay? It's so important that we know what those promises are. And we know that in 2 Peter 1:4, we're promised this. And this is amazing. He has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them, what? You may escape. How many of you this morning would like to escape your troubles? How many of you this morning would just like to be able to write the word escape? Amen? And you're praying that God would save you out of whatever mess you've gotten yourself into. And that's what's so awesome about God. He'll come in and he'll just deliver you of something. And that problem will be so cut off from you that you can no longer see it. Unless you listen to the enemy who tries to remind us of our problems. And I want to say this no matter what. Say no matter what. No matter what the situation that you find yourself in, the promises always work. Oh, come on. The promises always, say always, the promises always work. Now listen to what Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5. I am calling up memories. In other words, he's telling him to remember. I am calling up memories, your sincere and unqualified faith, the leaning of your entire personality on God in Christ in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness, a faith that first lived permanently in the heart of your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And now I am fully persuaded, Timothy, dwells in you also. What are the keys to walking in the promises? And see, that's what I want to do in 2026. When I get into trouble, because I'm sure I will, well, not what you're thinking. Never mind. But anyway, I want to go to the word of God, the word that I've put in my mind and in my heart, and say, you know what? God is faithful. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Glory to God. You know, there are so many promises that we leave on tap because we'd rather worry than quote the word. Amen? Come on. We'd rather worry than quote the word. But one of the keys in the promises, and the key to success in your Christian life, to living in victory in your Christian walk, is this: the leaning of your entire personality on God in Christ in absolute trust. Say absolute trust. Absolute trust and confidence in his power, his wisdom, and his goodness. And that means this, okay? That means this: that you're trusting in his word. Come on, people. You're trusting in his love. You're trusting God's character. You're trusting in his faithfulness, trusting in his integrity, trusting in his promises, because God is not a man that he should lie. I think I read that somewhere. But glory to God, those things I just read off, they're yours and they're mine because we're in Christ. Amen? Amen. Paul wanted to remind Timothy about something that was very, very important. God's faithfulness was a part of Timothy's family heritage. He had seen it before. He had lived in it before. His grandmother Lois trusted the Lord, and the Lord never failed her. Okay? His mother trusted in the Lord, and the Lord never let her down. Amen? Amen. And what Paul was saying and trying to get to Timothy was Timothy could trust him too. Timothy could trust him too. And we can trust him too. But Timothy was dealing with tremendous stress, and difficulty, probably much like you and I, okay? And Timothy too was wondering where God was in all of this. And Paul took this opportunity to remind him that just as God had never failed his grandmother or his mother, remember this, Timothy, neither would God abandon him in his difficult hour. And I want you to know right now, God will never abandon you. It doesn't matter if you're in a mess. Come on. It doesn't matter if things are really going quite well and maybe you're getting private. God does not abandon you. You know, you can have financial trouble. And I know I have had that trouble to where, you know, I don't have any idea where the next dollar comes from. But God, amen? And God has always brought me through that. I have never been late on a mortgage payment, never been late. And Paul took this opportunity to remind him, you know, God is no respecter of person, which means this: what he does for one, he'll do for another, okay? So you can't say, oh, not me, oh, but not me. No, it can be you. It can be you. Paul told him this in the King James Version. It's written like this in 2 Timothy 1:6. I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And I want you to focus today just on the phrase, I put thee in remembrance, okay? It's taken from a Greek word, anamnesko, and it's a compound of two words, ana and mnesko, okay? Please just hear me, because this is so important for us to get down. The word ana means again, okay? Or to repeat something. The word mnemonesko means to be reminded of something, such as memories. When these two words are put together like they are in this verse, it means to regather or to recollect memories, okay? The little prefix ana also carries with it the idea of replaying those memories over and over again in your mind. The way you would hit the repeat button on a movie or something, on a DVD player, and watch the one part of the movie over and over again. Not that I've ever done that. In other words, what we get out of this is that we should constantly hit the repeat button in our minds and replay the times that God has been faithful to you in the past. Faithful in delivering you. Glory be to God. Faithful in healing you and faithful in rescuing you repeatedly. We should replay those scenes in our mind until we never forget his faithfulness to us. And that's how you return to the place where you have a grateful heart. You remember and you be grateful. All right? I've had so many things happen in my life, and I've told you that already, but you know, so many things that could have been it. All right? But he's faithful. He's faithful, and he's always brought me through. I have to remember that, and I have to be grateful for that, no matter if it's a year ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and on and on. You could translate 2 Timothy 1:6 in the following way. I am putting you in memory of all these things so that by your remembering them, you might stir up the gift of God that is in you. Paul reminds Timothy, and he reminds you and I, to take our eyes off the times of trouble and the present crisis that we find ourselves in, or how high the mountain is that we're facing, and get your eyes back on the delivering and rescuing power that God used for you the last time he rescued you. Because you know what? He doesn't run out. Amen? When he rescues you, he doesn't have less rescue in him, okay? And he's as willing to rescue you today as he was willing to rescue you tomorrow, or excuse me, yesterday and tomorrow. I think we are so fickle that we don't understand that he's just faithful. Amen? And the truth is, if you do look back, there was never a single time where you can say that God failed you or that God let you down. In fact, he delivered you and turned the situation around. Remember, one of these many promises is found in Romans 8:28. And it says this, we are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and his purpose. Don't let the devil lie to you. Amen. Close that door. All right, don't let him cloud your mind. No matter what, God is faithful. Come on, shout that out. God is faithful. One more time. God is faithful. What am I trying to say this morning? Never forget. Never forget. Always remember what God has already done for you. Why? Why would you do that? Why would you revisit that part of your past? Because in remembering the victories, you will stir up and encourage yourself to face your present challenge with the faith that is necessary to face it. Amen? I'm going to say it again. Never, say never. Never forget how God has healed you, how God has delivered you, he has saved you and guided you and directed you, how he has brought you through difficult trials, he has provided for you during hard financial times, God has protected you from the snare of the enemy. God, now hear this and please hear this, God has been there for you when everybody else isn't. Amen, your best friend no matter who, you know, no matter what, God is always there. So the next time, all right, the next time the devil tells you there's no way that you're going to survive what you are facing and that God isn't listening to you, hit the repeat button, all right? Hit the repeat button. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you remember all those past challenges and all those past mountains where God came through for you. Because remembering his blessings and his interventions will give you that grateful heart that you're searching for. And I'm going to tell you right now that if you're not searching for a grateful heart, you need to. Life is better with a grateful heart. Everything is better with a grateful heart. You don't see the worst in people with a grateful heart. You don't take something the wrong way with a grateful heart. It's just easier to live with a grateful heart. So, you all got a 3x5 card, right? Yep. Tell me if you didn't. Wave your hand at me if you didn't. Could the ushers? Yeah. I don't want to ask if everybody has a pen or pencil. I'm believing that you do. All right. But on that 3x5 card that you've been given, I want you to write on that 3x5 card the things that God has done for you in the past. How he saved you, or maybe he's brought you through in many specific situations in the past. Two or three, I don't know if you can remember. Just write them down. Then when you get home, well, I'll let you keep writing. Write neatly, because this is going to be with you for a long time, okay? Okay. Then, when you get home today, put it somewhere where you'll always see it, like on your mirror, maybe in the bathroom, whatever, so that you can see it at the beginning of your day. All right? And read it daily and thank God for whatever it was that he did for you. And cultivate that grateful heart that we just talked about. Make it your goal to have a grateful heart. And you will be just amazed at how much better your life goes, how much better your relationships goes. Amen? How much better everything will go. If you just have that ability to see the best. And as you practice that gratefulness, you will cultivate the attitude of gratitude that every one of us so desperately need. So desperately need. Wave at me when you're done. We're not done yet. That's good. That's a good sign. Either you can't write or, you've got a lot of things to thank God for. And you do. You do. You might think it's silly to tape a 3x5 card to your mirror or your refrigerator or whatever. But I'll tell you what, we began to learn scripture by pasting that to our mirrors and to our refrigerators and carrying a 3x5 card booklet in our back pockets. That's it. All right, listen. I know some of you are still writing, but let's just take a minute and stand together. And we're going to make a declaration together today. Are you ready? All right, repeat this after me, not with me, but after me, okay? I declare, God has never failed me nor let me down. I declare, He has always delivered me from difficult times. He will rescue and deliver me this time too. I declare that starting today, I will dwell on those past moments when God did the impossible for me. I declare my goal in 2026, is to remember and have a grateful heart. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen and amen. Amen. God. Glory to God. God is so good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Prayer partners, if you would come up. If you have anything that you want prayed about, anybody you want prayed for, or it's you, the prayer partners are up here, are going to be up here to pray for you today and then to agree with you through the week. All right? Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, let us all remember this word today. Father, I pray that each person will begin to remember how great and great you have been, and a grateful heart would begin to spring up in them when everything looks down and dull and dark and no good. Let them remember how faithful you are. God, that we might walk through life with a remembering and grateful heart. God, let that be our 2026. Many people have New Year's resolutions. Well, let this be our resolution, God, that in 2026, we're going to cultivate a grateful heart in Jesus' name. And again, everybody said, amen, amen and amen.